Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I am trying to figure out what in the world is going on. You know, John, welcome to the program here.
Good to be here.
When you want to run for the President of the United States of America, right? You want to be for America. And one of the things you swear when you come in is that you would protect and defend the Constitution of America,
yes.
Right? And, you know, one of our first constitutional amendment rights is, you know, the right to for religious expression in the government. If you're planning, if you're actually wanting to be the head of the government, the first thing that you don't say is, I'm going to do away with the rights of the people because I'm supposed to you got to hear this, because this just kind of shocked me when it was brought to my attention that when Hillary Clinton, she is speaking in America right now, but she said very specifically that that we got to be able to change this deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed in America. And listen to this, and let's just talk about this, because what does that really mean? You know, being Christians, you know, and you got to take a look at this. I don't want to talk about this.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
What does the First Amendment of the Constitution say, John?
First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free speech exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances.
So let's play that again. Let's hear this again. And let's gotta get this in our head. It takes us a while to kind of like
grasp
this.
First Amendment Constitution.
Right, okay.
Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion.
And the executive branch would be the president is to enforce the laws that the Congress passed. And the Congress passed this law, the First Amendment.
Sure.
So then whoever's the president would say, you know, make sure that you don't change the religious beliefs. Let's watch one more time and see if we heard this correctly and see. Let's hear this again. Maybe we're not hearing this correctly.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Well, you know, I agree with cultural codes and biases, definitely.
For sure.
But it sounds like there's pretty much bias against deep religious beliefs.
Seated religion beliefs, yeah.
Right. And so then the First Amendment specifically tells, so the executive, the president, whoever the president is, they
highest
actually...
Highest office in the land.
And they're the ones that execute the laws that the Congress passes. And so that's why it says Congress shall make no laws, because the executive branch or the president makes no laws. It's actually the congressional part of legislature that makes those laws. And so then... this is important because religious persecution is taking place in the world. It's like this Christian Holocaust is taking place. And now someone who is, you know, currently, you know, our president, you know, he said very specifically, you know, that America is no longer a Christian nation. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, and a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Well, you know, America always has been a diverse people, but we are a Christian nation. So let's go back and hear this other person, what Hillary Clinton said just this weekend. It kind of sounds the same, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Let's watch this one more time.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Okay, I'm sorry. One more time. This is just one more time. We got to get this because it's like we don't hear it, right?
Yeah.
Let's hear it one more time.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Okay, let's go to President Obama again. What did he say?
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Okay, okay. What? Okay, one more time. Let's hear what Hillary Clinton just said this weekend.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
You'd almost think they were mentored by the same person. You would think that they have a same goal going on. As a matter of fact, if you go back, if you read the book, Rules for Radicals, it was written by a particular man. You can see it here on your screen. Rules for Radicals, it was written by a particular man. That's the back cover, but there's actually a front cover that says, you know, Rules for Radicals. That this Saul Alinsky particular man, reports are that he mentored Hillary Clinton, and he mentored Barack Obama back when he was not a senator or a president. And if you read the book, if you look on the back cover of the book, you can see where they specifically say right here on the back cover of the book, you're looking at it on screen right here now, I guess, and it says right there, I think it's a Chicago
Tribune, I believe.
Chicago Tribune or Chicago Sun-Times. It says, Alinsky's techniques and teachings influenced generations of community and labor organizers, including the church-based group hired a young Barack Obama to what?
Work on Chicago's South Side in the 1980s. Alinsky's impressed a young Hillary Clinton who was growing up in Park Ridge in Chicago. Again, this is Chicago Sun-Times.
So I happen to have Hillary Clinton's term paper that she wrote for her thesis. And first of all, I have a letter here. This is a nice little letter, allegedly, that she had written in, I don't have my glasses, here we go.
There you go.
Man, letters are getting smaller. June 13th, 1971. It is written, letter was written to Dear Saul. Dear Saul.
Interesting.
July 8th, 1971. When is your new book coming out? it's to Berkeley. It's at Berkeley. Excuse me. Go figure. When is your new book coming out, or has it come out already, or somehow did I miss the fulfillment of the revelation?
Wow.
Question mark. I have just had my 1,000th conversation with my rivals, and she's just carrying on. She says, "Hey, I want to get up with you and have those conversations that we have. Here's my phone number. You can reach me here." She wrote it there as FDR stamp on the front of it right there. It was written, the return address was Hillary Rodham Clinton, 2667 Derby number 2, Berkeley, California, 94709. And it's written to Mr. Saul Alinsky, care of the Industrial Area Foundation, Chicago, Illinois. And I thought it was pretty interesting because, you know, you're looking at, you know, why are they sounding so much alike? And what we're told in Revelation chapter 2 is that whoever's teachings we follow, that's whose child we are. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to look at a couple things that the reason why this book from the Chicago Sun-Times talks about it as well, which, by the way, if you could look at the inside cover of this book, you got to see who Saul Alinsky, who she's writing to, dedicated it to. Take a look at this, and we're going to go to break. They dedicated this book, who used these same techniques, to Lucifer, because he actually organized, a third of the angels against God in the presence of God. We need to wake up. This is some amazing things that are taking place in our presence. We're just looking at, you know, what's going on and how, you know, Why is President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton so much alike? And we're finding out they were mentored by the very same mentor, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, back cover of Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky. And I believe he even taught it for 4 years, taught the principles, you know, allegedly. But this letter that Hillary Clinton wrote in July the 8th, 1971, allegedly, you know, it says, Dear Saul, so they were pretty close because he mentored her. you know, what is, when is this new book coming out, or have I, or has it come out, and I somehow missed the fulfillment of the revelation, right? Mm-hmm. So the office writes back. Here's the office writing back for her letter on July 13th, 1971. Miss Hillary Rodham, from two, it has her address on there. It says, Mrs. Rodham, your July letter, your July the 8th letter to Mr. Alinsky arrived, and I want to make sure, it goes on to say, that we didn't miss you because you're so, we know what your relationship is to him. But just to let you know, it's saying, here's the quote, Rules for Radicals is coming out. Rules for Radicals is coming out, published officially on May the 14th, 1971 by Random House. And it goes on, and the letter is signed by Mrs. Georgia Harper, secretary for Mr. Alinsky.
Wow.
And so, you know, they just, you know, everybody has their mentors. That just happens to be, you know, one of her mentors there. And I thought what was pretty interesting too, John, is, and I knew nothing about this until I heard Marshall Gantz, you know, talk about it when he was being interviewed on the Bill Moyer show. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty interesting. I want to kind of get that book and see what it's about. And when I looked in the inside cover of this book, who it was dedicated to, which you can see again, I was shocked because, you know, they wanted to give a big shout out. I don't know if you can see it right here. There it is. Yeah, that you can give a big shout out to the person who used these techniques basically first and got his own kingdom, and Lucifer. And here this letter is, allegedly, that she had written to Saul. Saul's secretary is writing back saying, hey, the book's coming out this way. And you think, well, that's just coincidence. But then I realized that I have, you know, allegedly the term paper that Hillary Clinton wrote for her thesis to be able to graduate from college. And
wow.
John, guess what she wrote it on?
What she write it?
She wrote it on Saul Alinsky, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And some of the chapters of her paper, these reports are right here, are Saul David Alinsky, an American Radical, the Alinsky Methods of Organizing, and three case study. And it goes about three different cases they're studied. So she actually wrote her thesis to be able to graduate, you know, from her university, her college, which was sealed for years, but it came out, you know, several years back now. And you read it, and that's just her viewpoint. That's just her viewpoint. Maybe it's also President Barack's viewpoint, and everybody has a right to, this is America, you have a right to your view. But when it contradicts the Constitution of the United States, and when it contradicts a Judeo-Christian nation, you know, that if you want to change the deep-seated beliefs,
sure,
religious beliefs of America, that you want to declare that America is no longer a Christian nation, I mean, that is truly fundamentally transforming our nation if we don't wake up. And so what I found, what it looks like in this whole just glancing over these things, as that their sister and brother, when you look at President Barack Obama and you look at Hillary Clinton, that they're in the context of, they both had the same mentor. They were raised under the same mentor, Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book, who Hillary Clinton talked about, has the book came out yet, have a written letter asking for the book, called The Revelation.
I was just going to say that. She referred to the book as The Revelation. Basically, what's the premise of the book? As I understand the book, it's about tools, rules, strategies to try to influence society. But obviously, it's not using the Constitution, but there are all these different rules that are listed in this
book. Well, it's bottom up. I mean, it boils down to who's God. And, you know, we got really this wonderful democracy in America, but the truth is, you know, God doesn't run a democracy. And what the reason why our founding fathers, you know, came to America, they did not want government and religion mixed. They wanted government to make no laws concerning religion. In other words, you know, step away from our beliefs, step away from our deep-seated religious beliefs.
Right.
And you do your thing, we'll do our thing, but you cannot make any laws concerning what we do here. And that was the whole purpose of it. It wasn't separation of church and state, you know, was not to keep the church or Christians, keep religious people out of government. It was to keep government out of religious people's lives.
Mm. You know,
the word religion has been switched to church. We're talking about these particular issues. We don't need to say, you know, separation of church and state. We need to say it's a separation of government and religion, and it was to separate government out of religion, not religion out of government.
Right.
Because you walk with your deep-seated religious beliefs. Who God is,
sure,
the most important thing that, you know, you will ever have in your life, you know, because what you think about God will determine your destiny. And so we, in that, you know, the Lord just laid on my heart as we were walking through it. We have an entire series dedicated to this, and you got to hear it. This is what we're going through right now. The whole world is being organized with, you know, these kind of tactics, but they're tactics just like Saul Alinsky wrote that Lucifer used. So it's nothing new, but it's interesting. The book reveals who's openly using it and who it was dedicated to. And it's not something technical either, because even a child does this. I mean, sure. Anybody knows when you're trying to get your way as a kid, you know, the kid's going to use all these tactics, the bully tactics and all these different things go on to cause people to finally give in to get their way.
It's all about getting their way.
Yeah, but this is like they're organizing, they're using Luciferic tactics, Lucifer's tactics, but like Lucifer, like acid. You mix Lucifer and acid together, they're pouring Luciferic acid over the face of the earth right now. And you think, well, how could they do that? Well, think about Satan. You know, Satan was thrown out of heaven. He was thrown down into this atmosphere, and this heaven is down here. And when he told Jesus, he said, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he said, you know, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And he said to Jesus, he said, after Jesus said, you know, worship Lord thy God, him only, you know, that's what it's written. He says, listen, these things have been given to me, and I can give them to you. When Adam fell in the garden, he surrendered the authority of what was happening on earth. And so we have to take it back in Jesus Christ, which means there can be people who partner with darkness. They partner with Lucifer because they get power, they get kingdoms, they get money, they get control. And we're seeing people, you know, allegedly like George Soros and these people who are world players. I mean, they're,
Well, didn't this movement start out with people on the inside trying to influence those in government? And then now it's kind of turned to, they found out that they could probably just be inside and kind of control things. And
yeah, I mean, that was a big, I understand that was kind of a big debate they had between the concepts of, you know, you have to be on the inside or be on the outside. But, you know, Lucifer just wants chains. So
That's it by any means.
And so, but as Christians, you know, we're not talking about the world. You know, the world does whatever the world does. And God has not put it in our place to judge the world. That's not what we're called to do. But we are called to judge ourselves and the church, like where are we at and what we're doing. And so as Christians, we're not supposed to. We have something coming out soon about how does God feel about organized labor, you know. And he has a very strong opinion about how, you know, bottom-up leadership. And he's all about top-down. And even if it's Nebuchadnezzar at the top, that, you know, God is all about, you know, authority that he's established. And so Rules for Radicals is about how can you push authority? You know, how can teenagers make their parents do what they want them to do? How can a wife, for example, force her husband without saying anything to get him to do something that he doesn't want to do that he wouldn't do? How could an organizer, you know, organize people in the community to force an elected government by the people to do what they want them to do? And so all of a sudden you have somebody that you put into office not doing things the way they said they would do when you put them in office, because somebody organized people who didn't even vote, who didn't even get involved in the process, to force the government to do something that is not what they said they're going to do. That's why you're looking at contradictions in the context of these kind of tactics. And so the series is a very important series of talking about each of these rules. There's like 13 rules. And so we need to have a light perspective to the dark perspective. So if there is a particular rule, if there's a particular rule that that the enemy is using and people who are children of darkness are using, we think about that. Don't just go, oh, that's a bad thing. We got to find out what the light response is. What is the right response to that? Because if we respond to darkness, as Dr. King says, that it won't work. You know, darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light can do that. So what is the light response? And so in this series, you know, the organizers of the day versus organizers of the night, I mean, God reveals it to us as we're talking this thing out. How are we supposed to respond to these things? How do we respond to being organized? How do we respond to, you know, people trying to stir up a militant? You know, one of the rules are you have to have a militant, continued militant agitated force, basically, that's constantly going and pushing, because it keeps people stirred up, keeps them divided, and then if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. I mean, all these things are in, these are this basic, this is, she said, this is the letter she wrote, you know, allegedly she wrote was, you know, when is the revelation coming out? That was the book, the revelation. And so they write back, you know, the secretary allegedly writes back to her, and I got these two letters, that says, oh, it'll be out, you know, on May the whatever it said. And it's like, so this book is pretty relevant. And there's a reason, it appears, that is dedicated to both of them. And so we're asking, this is the thing, do we really want our deep-seated religious beliefs to be changed? Or do we want to stand up for God? This is a decision. We're being brought to the point of decision. What you're seeing take place right now, and what we're talking about is persecution. And you're looking at the scenes being set up for greater persecution. When you see James Foley's head cut off before the entire world, you see our president walk to the microphones from Martha's Vineyard, I believe it was, you know, for a few moments and acknowledge what happened, and then go back and play golf the same day. Not, you know, it's like the value of life is lost. But you have to understand, you know, part of the campaign for many, many years now, for even Hillary Clinton has been, you know, that she talked about it in that clip. We didn't have that clip about, you know, ending the life of your child in the womb. That's been one of her things, and you'll hear her talk more about that probably in the future. So the value of life, whether it's James Foley, a journalist who was, reports are that his, when you hear his, I mean, we have everything available for you on the torch, but he cared so much about injustice that he was willing to go there and teach the people in the region that he was in about how to be journalists themselves, how to report the truth themselves. Think about that, willing to go and be that, you know, First Amendment that we have here to teach them about the freedom of the press and that type of thing. And it's just such a tragedy. And then you're looking at, you know, changing the fund. Once you change the beliefs, the Christian beliefs, the Judeo-Christian beliefs, you know, of America, your life and my life will not be valuable anymore. It'll be the collective. It'll be, you know, for the sake of the greater good.
Sure.
You know, and it's sort of like we talked about in our previous program, you know, we heard the mayor of Baltimore, you know, not put down the curfew until the next day, and it sounded just like that movie The Purge that we didn't see, but we read about it and saw the trailer to it, which lined it up. It's like, and the whole purpose of that was population control.
Yeah.
And so the answer to, I know that from some of the things that I appear to see, have seen with even the Clinton Initiative, when they go over to another country, one of the responses to how to help the people in these other countries is to put a big campaign on about birth control. I meant to control, stop having babies.
Wow.
And, you know, in the life of the baby that you have in your womb. And it's like the answer to life is not taking life.
Sure.
You know, the answer for, and that's the world's perspective. But as Christians, we're supposed to be going into all the world and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God changes us from within. And because we're changed from within, wherever we go, we change what's outside. Inside out is how we're called to do it. Not to be transformed, not to be conformed, I mean, by to this world and these world systems, but be transformed by the Word of God. Governments and ideas and constitutions do not transform us, but the Word of God does that. And then when we show up, you know, we should be a blessing. We should be helping folks out. We're not a blessing to someone who's following Lucifer. It's never going to be. That's the one that's actually going to be persecuting you. But he says, as a matter of fact, he says it very specific. What did Jesus say about the persecution?
Jesus said in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes in verse 11, says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Yeah, and so you're looking at, you know, that welcome to being a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, I mean, you see people that are doing things, is like you're causing persecution because you're mean. You know, that particular person is just being hateful and mean or self-righteous. you know, and they're not experiencing persecution because they're walking through the streets, loving on people, healing brokenhearted people, sharing the love of God with them, you know, eating with people that people won't eat with. And you know, that's not why they're being persecuted. They're being persecuted because they're just hateful. You know, there's like screaming and hollering at folks. Mm-hmm. But if you're walking with God and you're just loving on people, doing the best you can, and you're being attacked for that, it's not a negative thing. But you may lose followers on your Facebook. You know what I'm saying? You may lose
a couple friends.
You think, but they're not.
I mean,
if they don't stand with you and they call themselves a Christian and you're standing up for Christ, you're just not. That wasn't your friend.
Right.
It was not your friend. And I just want to pray with you now because you're looking what's coming up over the horizon. We have somebody who's saying, I want to be the leader of the country. And I think that deep-seated religious beliefs have to change. You know, and this is the future. And, you know, I personally am not going to change my faith in Jesus Christ. And
I'm not.
I'm going to embrace the Lord. And I love the fact that the Constitution gives us the right to be able to do that. And I just hope that whoever, you know, that we as a people chooses to be a leader of our country will actually love the country and love God and love our
Constitution.
And let's just pray right now. Father God, we just ask you, Lord, that you would save America. Lord, forgive us for what we have allowed to take place, God. And
yes, Lord.
Lord, help us, God, that, you know, where we have done things that's brought, you know, shame to the cross and to what true relationship is to you, God, and that where we've turned to government instead of turning to you, and now government's trying to turn those who follow you. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would change everyone's heart that are wanting to be able to lead this country, Father God, that they would be ones that love you, that love your word, that love the Constitution, Lord, and that honor your word and honor you and honor the Constitution. Lord, help us, God, not go this way, Father God. We ask and we just pray for the persecuted church, Lord, that you would just comfort them, protect them, prevent these things from happening, Lord God, and save them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We'll see you on the next program. We're going to be talking more about, you know, the persecuted church with Jonathan Kahn. Make sure you catch it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.